First I was a Catholic girl, loved the mass, I watched the swirl of smoke from candles burning, while Mary looked up yearning. I got confirmed in...
Hello and welcome to the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour on WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM here in Knoxville, Tennessee. We're recording this on Sunday morning, September 4th, 2022. I'm Larry Rhodes, or Doubter 5, and as usual, we have our co-host, Wombat, on the line with us. Hello, Wombat.
I am the Wombat!
Yay! And our guests today are the John Richards from England. Welcome.
I can't compete with the Wombat.
No,
I
mean,
Lord nobody John can. Richards himself.
Digital Free Thought Radio Hour is a talk radio show about atheism, free thought, rational thought, humanism, and the sciences. And conversely, we'll also talk about religion, religious faith, gods, holy books, and superstition. And if you get the feeling that you're the only non-believer in your town, well, you're just not. Here in Knoxville, in the middle of the Bible Belt, we have a group of over 1,000 of us, the Atheist Society of Knoxville, ASK. And we'll tell you more about that after the mid-show break. Wombat, what's our topic today?
Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about you and me, all the good things that, and I forgot all the lyrics, but it's going to be an interesting show today. Before we get into it, I have vision. It'd be nice to catch up on everybody, see how they've been doing. Larry, how you been? What's going on with you?
Oh, I've been fine. Didn't ride my motorcycle yet this weekend, but I made this afternoon. Just playing games and working.
Not bad. Okay, cool. Pretty straightforward with me too. Like I said, I got a lot of car stuff done. We got a lot of equipment fixed up at work. We're all set up for buying new scientific toys at our laboratories. And we're having vendors come in and be like, this is the latest and greatest piece of equipment. And there's so much cool gadgetry that exists in the world that you just have to like sit back and be like, how does it all work? What do we need? And what would be cool to have? And then how do we make the business case argument for it so our higher level managers can get it? But it's a fun time to be a scientist. There's always like some new technology that's out there that we need to capture. Yeah. John Richards, how you been? Oh, go ahead.
Want ideas for new technology? Watch the hacks videos.
The hacks videos? What is this?
Life hacks.
Life hacks videos. Yeah. Some stream and a teacup. Yeah.
And make a product after it.
Okay. John Richards, what's going on with you, my friend?
Everything's fine here, thank you. We had a very good free thought hour last night.
Nice.
With the return visit of Pastor Alan Cartwright.
Right. The arguments.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. He came on with his PowerPoint presentation to convince us that Christianity was the thing. And he allowed us to challenge him. So that was fun.
Okay.
Oh, good.
Cool. I imagine it was not supposed to be good because he was asking for more punishment, right? Like he needed clickbait so he can say, look at all these angry atheists holding me back.
Well, you'll have to watch
give
it.
Give him a pleasant time. Okay. Where can we watch that again? Just so the audience doesn't have to wait.
Free Thought Channel. It's nice. It's in the live section of videos.
Oh, cool. Cool. And as we get started, I know Eric Bujo just showed up. Bujo, it's cool. Always good to hear from you. Well, as you get yourself set up, we'll get into intro for you. And let me stall 3 more seconds. Okay, he's here. Hey, Bujo, what's up?
Good one, guys.
Check. We're just starting up with how's everyone been doing? Might as well check in with you. How you been doing, my friend?
Been okay. Just got done from Orange Theory at the gym, so I'm a little sweaty. So,
Orange Theory, your band, or Orange Theory, a gym? Now, what's going on here?
It's a gym. Orange Whip was the band. Orange Theory. Orange Leaf is the ice cream. Orange Whip's the band. Orange Theory. Well,
any of those could make you sweaty.
Yeah. Very, very cool. Okay, so today we're going to be talking about a comment that we got on our YouTube page by Cynical Precious. And it's a doozy of a comment, so I'm just going to go over it real quick in 3 phases. First phase, I follow a few Christian influencers purely out of curiosity. This person's also an atheist, who make YouTube comments about topics and answer questions from their viewers. And I've noticed probably 90% of the questions they asked are all about sex, masturbation, and lust. It's all sex, 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 and some more sex. Some Christians like to call out sexual sins that others are committing while turning a blind eye to other sins that they commit on the daily. What's the obsession with knowing about other people's sex lives? Ooh. And why are there so many Christians so invested in purity? And then I thought these are the last two sections that are really important for me. From the push for virginity from a very young age to the obsession of the dreaded wedding night, to adolescents being told to keep their lustful thoughts away, it almost feels as though they want to talk about sex in a nosy, morbidly curious type of way. It's like their own passion and curiosity is burning a hole in their chest, so they just got to talk about it. Let's talk about that then during the show. So a lot of topics here. Go on ahead, John Richards. We'll do first impressions, and then we'll deep dive into the specifics of the comment itself. Yeah, John Richards.
You quoted the word, you used the word nosy from the quote in the text that the viewer sent in or the listener sent in. Yeah. And I'd like to reinforce that, because my attitude is that these people like to stick their noses in other people's genitalia.
Okay. Any other general thoughts before we do a deep dive? Eric, do you have ideas of like the concept of sex obsession with Christians, even as a taboo subject?
Yeah, I've always felt it kind of goes contrary to human biology. It's an odd thing to... Yeah, I think obviously there's some need to have people not masturbate, you know, when they're younger, and in older times it made sense, you know, you didn't want to waste the seed, so to speak. But
waste the seed, yeah.
Nowadays,
so limited.
right.
We want all of our followers to have incredibly high blood pressure and very awkward around the opposite sex. It's very bizarre. Yeah. Larry, go on ahead, weigh in.
All right, let's talk about that. The sin of Onan is what they talk about when they're talking about masturbation, but it wasn't about masturbation. It was about obedience to God. In other words, God wanted him to marry his brother's sister after his brother died and have children by her. Well, he did not, quote, finish inside her, and he finished himself, basically. Well, but that was and God punished him, but it was because he didn't obey God, not that he, did the masturbation thing. So it's
wait a second. Sorry, saying Christians misconstrued something.
Huh?
They misconstrued something even from their own textbook. That never happened.
It seems like sex is the one thing that Christians forbid, and without any biblical reason, they have to manufacture reasons for it.
John Richards, get in here.
I think I know the reason for that is because masturbation makes you deaf. So, of course, he couldn't hear what God was saying.
Okay, so this is a new thing for me. So I heard blind. I've not heard deaf. So is that how it is in Europe? Did they say it makes you deaf in Europe? Is that the... Okay. So, yeah, I did... My general thoughts about this is... it's never really about the thing that's forbidden. It's always the subtext. And the subtext for me is always control.
Right.
I'm trying to do whatever I can to control you. And so I will give you these silly barriers to jump over. Don't wear fabric tattoo cloths. Don't wear purple. Don't eat shellfish on Sundays. Don't tie knots on this day of the week. Don't have sex in this way. Don't have sex in that way. Don't touch yourself this way. And you know, you won't ever get them all. You'll never find a person who's truly following every single rule in the Bible, because there's so many articulated points that you have to follow. But it's not about hitting them all. It's about the willingness or the intention to do it, because that gives me power as a person who's giving you the commands over you. And while you worry about following all the rules, I'm watching you make sure you follow all the rules and taking 10% of your paycheck at the end of the day. Yeah. John Richards.
Does one sin cancel out another? I mean, would it be all right to masturbate while wearing mixed fabric?
Only if you film it. I guess you'd be a problem there. So, yeah, I think it's a best issue of control. And if you look back at like Mesopotamia, there's not a lot of other stuff to do aside from herd sheep. The masturbate. So like, what else? what are we really, you know, docking these people for? So let's get into the nature of the question. What's the obsession with knowing about other people's sex lives? And why are Christians so invested in purity? I find that to be a particularly useful point. Eric, why are Christians invested in other people's sex lives? Why is purity such a big deal?
Is it because it's awkward to talk about? Is it, I mean, the different societies actually, you know, obviously treat it differently, but, and obviously it's changed quite a bit over the years. You know, some countries, Amsterdam obviously is a little more, open with sexuality. And that's obviously grown. I realize I've said obviously like four times now, but that's changed kind of quite a bit over time. Does it have something to do with, gluttony, like the is there some, like, you're not supposed to, you know, eat all the sweets and stuff yourself all the time, so you're supposed to kind of limit the amount of good things you're doing. So as part of it, maybe you know, it feels good, you know, but, you know, don't do it that much because it feels so good. It's one of the sins, right? Right. I don't know, maybe it ties somehow into that. Is it you're supposed to be limiting in how often you have sex or masturbate or whatever? I mean, I wonder if that's part of it. I don't know.
Help me out. So, like, non-Protestant point of view, you had Catholic upbringing, and I'm wondering, yeah, like, the old school Catholic appreciation of life here on earth is this is a testing ground to determine where you're going to go afterwards. So, like, the pleasures you get here, the pleasures for your body, are nothing compared to the pleasures you can have if you get them from God. And therefore, any way you are feeling good or resolving any sort of pleasure for yourself bodily wise, that's so substandard and the root of the devil trying to, you know, pull you away from the true pleasure, which is being one with God's word and his teachings and stuff like that. Does that sound familiar, or am I close to a basis on that?
I didn't pay a whole lot of attention in church, honestly. So
I just know it as a more hardcore version than Protestantism. That's all.
Yeah. Obviously, the Catholics have a whole issue with birth control and things, which is a whole other piece. But the one thing that comes to mind in what you're saying, you know, orgasm is fantastic. But talk to the guy who has an orgasm like every 30 seconds, every hour. I think there's actually a real person. Had a medical condition, and it's miserable for that guy. So
wow, that's bad.
If we're going to say, you know, heaven or the eternity or the afterlife is just more of the wonderful things like an orgasm here, then you're probably in for a little bit of hell then, I would think.
Yeah, that could be
bad.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. All interesting points. We're going to go up to Larry. Listen, why do people care, or why do Christians care so much about purity, virginity? Why is that such a big deal?
I don't know. Maybe it comes back to, suffering is godlike. More you suffer, the closer you are to Jesus. Don't do anything for pleasure, because it would lessen the suffering that you're supposed to go through during this life. I don't know, but right, that's my guess.
Like, you give us a body that gets hungry and you tell us don't eat. You give us a body that gets horny and you tell us don't masturbate or have sex. You give us a body that, you know, gets thirsty and you're like, don't drink these things, drink these things. And you're just like, you're just making me suffer. It's like, that's the point, though, because Jesus did that for you. It's like, I didn't ask him to.
That guy, Jesus, he's very demanding, isn't he? I mean, he wants you to love him. Mm. And he came to set mother against daughter and father against son so that he can have all your love for himself. He's honestly, what's going on there?
Sounds like a cult leader.
Yes, exactly. He can't take competition, that's for sure. Not even distraction as a competition. I mean, if you're pleasuring yourself, that's bad too, because it's not him. He wants it.
You know, I also find the concept of virginity and the way how we use it, at least in Western culture, I won't throw this out to Europe, but like, it's a very toxic label that we give both to girls and men. Because for men, we use it as a form of conquest. We define men based on their sexual exploits in a large part, and it's shamed if they aren't a virgin. Flip side, we take women and we put them on a pedestal if they are a virgin, and we shame them if they aren't. And it's like, but, and then also on the other flip side, if a guy wants to have sex with another guy, like if they game the system, we shame that as well. And it's just like, well, how? If sex is happening, someone's losing and someone's moving down on the pedestal and someone's moving up every instance.
Yes.
You set up a whole racket where that's the case. Where every single time sex is happening, someone's going up and someone's going down, regardless of how it happens.
I'm sure there's been some polls done on this, because I'm sure I've read somewhere that if you interview men and ask them how many sexual partners they've had, it's always, you know, in double figures or more. And if you interview women from the same population, they've only had one. So there's a mismatch. Somebody's not having it with somebody. I don't know what's going on.
Absolutely. Eric, what's up?
I think we left out one more group there when you kind of went through everyone's losing.
I left out a lot of groups.
Well, if it's both women, I think everyone's winning. And I think everyone agrees. If it's two women, it's lovely.
So elephant in the room, I got an asexuality flag here too. There's also another step where it's just like, hey, if you don't feel sexual attraction, people will look at that as if there's something wrong with you. And like the idea of like just not being sexually attracted to anybody is abnormal, when like that is also a normal state. So you could also have a group where when a guy likes a man and a woman who are bisexual, and you can also have the other Punnett square box where it's just not sexually attracted to anything else. I certainly love food and disc golf. That's great too. And music and all that stuff. There's so much more cooler stuff than sex for me. But admitting that even in a public space seems abnormal, but it's also abnormal for me to have this outlook and then look outside and see two things. One, a completely sex obsessed society where I can't even look at a Burger King commercial without it being on like a red carpet with like rose petals falling on top of it, or like a girl in a bikini like driving a Buick truck, like on in the middle of a desert. And I'm like, what is being sold to me here? This is very bizarre. But also on the flip side, this very, you know, conservative stance on sex, hosted by the most, you know, ubiquitous religious group that says sex is not something that you should use in a bad way or make a scene about. Yet it's sold to us every single time I'm looking at like a Jesus on a cross with like the cut six packs pics. Like he's got like abs, he's got long flowing hair, and he's got blood nowhere on his face. But like, it's got to be like, you know, it's got to look pretty. You can't make him look ugly. Come on. He's got to be cleanly shaped. I'm like, I'm not saying, I'm not saying the message is consistent. I'm just saying like, it could be if you just guys all got in a room and decided like sex is a good thing, we're going to use it, or sex is a bad thing, we're not going to use it. But don't use it and then also say it's bad at the same time too, because it just seems to make this very weird juxtaposition of ideals. Yeah.
I wonder if there's any marketing men who are also Christians, because it doesn't go together, does it?
No, it doesn't. And like Mother Mary's, like the big thing, what about her? Not the fact that she gave birth to an interdimensional, super high, powerful being, you know, that created the universe. It's the fact that she's a virgin. That's the number one thing everyone says about Mary. It's like, that's a very bizarre thing. It's like, I gave birth to the creator. It's like, yeah, but you're also a virgin. That's what's important about you. I also feel like pushing for virginity at a really young age could lead to a lot of problems too, in the same capacity as not teaching people or not properly educating a person about evolution leads them to have a lot of problems with science down the road, since it's a pillar of biology. Not teaching them about sex or how to have it safely leads to the problem of like unplanned pregnancies, bad parents, children that don't understand or get along with their parents because they're not talking the same language. They don't express themselves in the same way. One's going through puberty. The other one's far past it, maybe going into differing levels of what's the right word for it? Non-sexual activity. So it's just like, get over it. It's fine. It's like, no, mom, this is literally the only thing I can think about. Mm-hmm. What do you guys think about the push for virginity at a really young age by Christians? John Richards, I'll throw it out to you first.
Well, it's not just Christians, is it? I mean, we have some Muslims in our country now, and they're, in many ways, they're even more extreme, because when you get to be eight as a girl, you have to wear your hijab, you know, just the scarf.
Yeah.
Because they're fearful, for some reason, weird reason, that the sight of female hair could drive men into a sexual frenzy.
Right.
I don't know what's going on in their minds, but and so they keep everybody apart from then on. But of course, so sex is a big taboo until you're married. And up until then, of course, you, as a woman in fundamentalist Islamic cultures, you have to go about in a tent with a man beside you, if you're allowed out at all.
Yeah.
And then once you are married, you're pretty much not allowed out anymore.
Yeah.
Yet, when you get to your afterlife, what happens? You get 42 virgins.
Hmm.
Actually, I think it's raisins. I think it was a mistranslation. No, seriously, I think it was a mistranslation.
Yes, I've heard that too. Yes. It's only the boys who get 42 virgins, raisins. Anyway, it's not the girls.
They don't get- push. Yeah, push for virginity at a young age, or what are the thoughts
you got? Yeah, so I think talking about Islam is probably a whole another piece we could get into. But sticking with kind of Western civilization, I think it's so clearly to me kind of a backfiring effect. It's at least certainly more recently. I mean, think about Footloose when they were trying to ban dancing. You know,
right.
And it's
you can't ban dancing.
You make this taboo, you make it something you can't talk about.
Right.
I mean, it enters into, yeah, early pregnancies, sexually transmitted diseases, just an unhealthy relationship with sex because you're hiding it. You're.
Well, punishment is a form of control. I mean, if you're going along and you break some rule and you're supposed to be punished for it, then that gives more power to the person who's theoretically controlling the group. So the more rules you have to break, and the ones that oppose the most human desires and urges, you know, the more likely that they will break the rules and punishment will ensue.
I also find that it appeases the default, or what is this presupposed default. So if someone says, don't talk about atheism when you go outside, you're going to eventually assume that everyone's Christian just by the virtue of the fact that everyone's got God.
And that's so one-sided.
Mm-hmm. Yep. They got Christian crosses they wear proudly. There's Christian radio stations. It's on some license tags on the framing. Like, it's everywhere. You can't go outside at least once, particularly where we live, you know, Kentucky and Tennessee,
right,
without seeing Christian iconography or reminders that there are Christians around you everywhere, from Dollar General to
on the license plate.
Yeah, it's on everything. Yeah. It's in our government buildings. It's everywhere. Mm-hmm. But when they say don't talk about atheism because it's a taboo subject, then you begin to assume that everyone who's quiet, even the people on the show, could be Christian.
Right.
And you have to like tippy-toe around it. I think in the same sense, when they say, hey, don't talk about virginity, don't talk about sex, then the attitude becomes, well, then I imagine that everyone's straight and that everyone I meet is a guy who is sexually attracted to women, and every woman is this demure, non-sexualized person who can't wait to have babies with me once they get married, right? Or that gay people don't exist, or that asexuals don't exist, or that bisexuals don't exist, or that transgenders aren't things that we have to talk about. And like, all this benefits the default idea of what does it mean to be a man? And it's the Christian idea of what it means to be a man. And what does it mean to be a woman? And it's the Christian precept, because they can be so much more open about their expression when they tell everyone else not to express it. I feel like that's the discordance. What do you think, John Richards?
Well, what you've just described is peculiarly American, because you said there's Christian radio stations, there's Christian TV stations. Well, over here, you know, we have Muslim radio stations.
Whoa, okay.
Muslim TV stations, and I've been on them.
Oh, really?
I can play you some clips of me on Islamic radio and television.
Wow. Islamic radio. Okay, that's a new one for me. Yeah, that'd be hard to fly in Tennessee and Kentucky, but yeah, I think
so,
it would be good.
So over there, Christianity is kind of silent, but Muslim is loud?
It used to be. I mean, you could be, when I was young, there was only the Anglican Church and a few very small denominations that were in peculiarly local areas, and Judaism. But of course, since then, we've had immigrants bring their religion to us, And so we've got Muslim communities, Hindu communities, and pretty much everything else, even Baha'i in Manchester and around Manchester area. So we're very cosmopolitan. And it's better because what was happening was the Anglican Church, the established church, was moribund. You didn't really have to believe in God to belong to it. You just went along for the tea and cakes and chatted, you know. And it opened itself to invasion by all these alternatives who are much more evangelizing, much more missionaries.
Okay, guys, there's a lot more topics in this comment that I'd like to go to, but let's do it.
The Bible tells me I was made for and from man, and I must do for him everything that I can. I must surrender to his will, I must submit. I can't make the household decisions, 'cause I am unfit. It tells me my place with everlasting grace. The Bible tells me I must be silent, you can't hear my voice. My role has been divinely defined, and I have no other choice. I may not be a teacher of men, I must cover up my shame. These are the laws of the one who in vain I cannot name. He tells me my place with everlasting grace. And my punishment for wanting to learn is a painful birth from which I may not return. The Bible tells me that I am unclean. Impure, you cannot touch me, and it has nothing to do with where I've been. It is part of who I am, it is because I corrupt men. I was asking for it just by being a woman. He tells me my place with everlasting grace. Am I punishment for what? Surrender to his will, I must submit. I can't make the household decisions, 'cause I am unfit. It tells me my place with everlasting grace.
Welcome back to the second half of the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour. I'm Doubter 5, and we're on WOZO Radio, 103.9 LPFM here in Knoxville, Tennessee. Let's talk about the Atheist Society of Knoxville, or ASK, for just a moment. We were founded in 2002. It's been 20 years now. We have over 1,000 members, and we have weekly in-person meetings every Tuesday evening in Knoxville's Old City at Barley's Tap Room and Pizzeria. Look for us inside at the high top tables, or if it's pretty weather outside, on the deck. We also have Tuesday evening Zoom meetings for those who can't get out or don't live in Knoxville. You can join us. We'll send you the link if you email us at askanatheist@knoxvilleatheist.org or letschatse@gmail.com. You can also find Ask on Facebook, meetup.com, or knoxvilleatheist.org, which is their website. Or you can just Google Knoxville Atheist and you'll find us. It's just that simple. By the way, if you don't live in Knoxville, you can still go to a meetup and do a search for an atheist group in your town. Don't find one? Start one. That's right. Wombat, where do we want to pick up?
Hey, we're talking about this comment that we got from Cynical Precious regarding why Christians are so obsessed with sex. Some feedback comments that we got on this inside the YouTube channel is from Geophagus. It's not just Christians and it's not just sex. Religions tend to go after our most basic urges and needs. Look at religious rules on clothing, food, and other interactions with other people, you name it. Control those things and you control those people. And I think that's probably the meat and potatoes behind it. One last comment that was on there is it's also to control the women. Control women is a huge driving force of this. And if you control women, that's half of your population, you know? And I think it's a meted sexual repression, because it's the thing that you probably think the most about, or at least as a species have the most wiring to go towards, because we're all the products of sex, right? And so like it's going to be a part of our lives at some point. And then it's the question of like, how are we going to interact with it when it does happen, right? And so if we are designed or trained ourselves to repress these thoughts, it only builds up more pressure when we can't just address it and recognize it for what it is and move on with our lives or take part in it. It becomes like this extra monkey on our shoulder that weighs us down and makes us more reverent, or at least acknowledgeable. Like, oh, if this weight on my shoulder isn't my sexual oppression, but in fact, Satan, then Satan's real, because I feel this pressure all the time. And I feel like that's a really bad misconstruing of feelings to hijack, you know? It's an unfortunate thing. And I wish Christianity and other religions wouldn't take part in it. And when I heard about Islam, it also breaks my heart too. But I guess it's the same thing happens in even sects of Buddhism, because you don't really see a lot of Buddhist females put on a pedestal, really, right? So like sex is a controversial tactic by a lot of religious groups. John Richards, you have thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, if it wasn't a good thing, we wouldn't be here, as somebody said earlier, because obviously we are here as a result of reproduction. So it's necessary. Right. And if you look at it from an evolutionary point of view, in order to succeed, all animals that, you know, have sexes, but you know, right. not those who are asexual, but all animals that have sexes have to reproduce. So denying it or making it a taboo is just ridiculous. And if you take some of our closest relatives, the bonobos, for example, you know, the smaller... Oh, no. Yeah, the smaller chimpanzees, they use sex almost like a handshake. They meet each other and have a quick touch.
And that's our closest primate relative?
Yeah.
Makes sense. Right.
I'm going to throw this one out too. Eric, you are really big into design and engineering. And John Richards, you're also into biology. I'm a biochemist myself. I want to throw this out. Like, if God wanted us to only have sex in the way that he approved to have, we could have just simply licked our fingers and touched them at the tips and like transferred all of our genetic information. And that would have been it. But yet he made it where you could have 14 different positions that he doesn't approve of, maybe even way more than that. And it's like, I call this the missionary style for a reason. It's like, yeah, but there's way more other fun ways to do it. And he's like, the main taboo that he has is like gay sex, where it's like, or male gay sex. But it's like, you made a round peg in a round hole. Right? Mm-hmm. Like you could have like really fixed that. It's like, oh, dang it. I did that thing where I made it. Oh, geez. Okay. Well, still don't do it anyway. It's like you could have fixed that. You could have been a giant knot at the end.
Like he was all knowing and didn't know it.
Right.
But he's testing them. He's testing them, guys.
But he doesn't know the results of the test.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So you're going to mix blue dye and red dye together and get angry when you get purple dye? Like, come on, dude. What are you doing? Eric, what do you think about the design aspect of that or other thoughts?
Yeah, well, first of all, as a civil engineer, I wouldn't have put the sanitation system right next to the pleasure system. I mean, that's just
the playground.
But I will say that the other thing that kind of the biology seems to segregate between men and women is men can have multiple orgasms in an easier way than women can. You know, the way the body's designed, it's harder for a lot of women to have an orgasm, which is a poor design. It should be you would think it would be one and one. It would just be just as easy for both. Now, of course, that's not all women, but I think you see that in other animals too. And it's, obviously it's just a byproduct of evolution, but, if both genders were designed the same way, you would think it would be a easier way to have both achieve that. I don't.
Yeah. And it's not as if it's not possible either, is it? Because
right. Yeah.
If you look at mammals, some mammals use the same passageway to breathe and swallow through. You know, we have a nose
like
and a mouth
together.
Exactly. Comes together in a crossroad and goes into two pipes and sometimes goes the wrong way and chokes, and that can lead to death. But it's not impossible to design it better. Look at the cetaceans. They have their breathing hole on the back of their neck, and their mouth only deals with
porpoises food. And whales and that type of thing.
Exactly. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. So you could say that putting the reproductive aperture next to the urinary and defecation apertures is unintelligent design.
Right. Basically, there are ways you could have designed bodies if we were a product design at all.
Yes.
Where all these things that we consider sin or we're told are sins would never have been a possibility or feasible in the first place.
Yes.
So to make it both feasible, practical, and pleasurable and fun all at the same time for a lot of different people, and then say, but don't do that. Right. Is the same condition of putting a trap in the Garden of Eden. Like you put an apple that's delicious, that thing that looks like the thing that people need to eat, that's in hand reach of a people who can reach for it, but told us not to reach for it and eat it. And we didn't eat it. And you put an animal that can speak our language and told us, hey, you should eat that thing. We did it anyway, because you purposely told us not to know what right and wrong is. So we listened to this animal. Like, that is by design, like the worst trap you could have ever possibly set up. And one of the most convoluted steps possible. I mean, talking animals, what's going on? Mm-hmm. Just put the piece of fruit in our mouths already.
Yeah. And it's even worse that he used that excuse to curse the rest of mankind, not just the people who did it.
Yeah, it's like he set up a game of mousetrap. It's just like, you're literally setting this up for failure. It's like, yeah, but that's the point. By the way.
And again, he knew the outcome. He knew it was going to happen.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
That made it a trap.
But it's also frustrating when we talk with these Christians. I don't know if you brought this up with your Christian friend on Free Thought Hour, John, but like, there are people who, despite knowing all these things, still ardently believe in the goodness of God, in the design of God, in the immaculate design of the universe by God. And it's like, but on the face level, you look at all the basic things that are, if you take it absolutely 100% true, and you just look at what's there and just have a small degree of criticism to it, none of this holds together.
Yeah.
It's like a Nicolas Cage movie. It's like, I know there are a lot of explosions and it looks cool and Batman did that voice, but none of this makes sense. If you just look at line for line, this makes no sense.
Interestingly, in the chat Free Thought Hour that we had last night, Alan, the pastor, said he was brought up by his parents, who were very religious, and they banned him from watching certain comedy shows on TV because they were a bit disrespectful of religion. But he claims that they brought him up to think critically. So what he's done is he's applied his critical thinking to his faith and reasoned his way through the Bible, but he didn't apply it astutely enough or rigorously enough for him to realize that the whole thing is BS.
We just got two new comments, and that's a good point, John. That's a really good point, because it's the hypocrisy of it that also bothers me too, right? And so, it is disgusting. Anyway, Grand Pen also made a comment on the thread. He says, theism is embarrassed by the curse of merely being human. If pooping and if using the bathroom were voluntary acts, they'd have been deemed sinful as well.
Right.
And yeah. And then also another comment from Rush MC1. Honestly, most people are obsessed with sex. Christians just come at it from a negative and self-hating angle.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for those comments, guys. Feel free to leave more as we do the chats. Yeah.
we've got to be obsessed with sex, otherwise we wouldn't be here.
Well, you know, here's my thought. I appreciate him saying most. There are people who aren't obsessed with sex, and it's not an abnormal thing to not be obsessed with. Well, I want to just make sure that's a point too. But yeah.
Fair enough. I didn't mean it's compulsory. What I meant is as a population.
You go. Yeah. It's been a successful way, and even if you don't have an obsession with it, doesn't mean that you can't do it or that you're or waiting for or going through a phase. It just means like, it's okay to not be obsessed with it. It's okay to look at it in a positive light too. And I feel like what Christianity does is give us a starting pack of cards that are so bad that it basically weighs our impression of sex moving forward. What I really also feel bad about too is the idea that sex is something that men, or how to put it, because it's used to control women, women never really get a seat at the table in terms of actually enjoying it pleasurably. And we don't have a, obviously there's no woman on the show, but I do feel like there's no voice to a woman that enjoys sex, because a man can talk about it in a way where it's like a pleasurable experience. I had all these orgasms, it was great. But if a woman does it, the societal context is, well, if this is a person who is morally not astute and not good, and there's problems with them. And I feel like that lack of gender equality is also really, really bad too. I'd be really happy to live in a society where we get rid of this, you know, patriarchal look at it. Yeah. It's a really bad double standard. New comment, patriarchy on patriarchy. The one thing men can't control is giving birth. So they can't be certain they are the father. In the absence of paternity tests, shaming women into monogamy and abstinence before marriage is clearly the best solution. Yeah. That's the point. That's another point too. It's just like, hey, it's a good way to control women. If we can't have birth control pills, even though we have them now, the other thing we can do is shame them into monogamy and abstinence, which we know doesn't work very well either. So it's just a really bad setup.
What you've just outlined there is really all about property. Men want to know who their offsprings are so that they can leave their property to them, and there will be no dispute because they can say, you're my son, you get this.
Okay.
It's all about property. Before property, before civilization, when we were hunter-gatherers, it really didn't matter because there was nothing to inherit.
Very true.
But then we had the chastity belt that helped.
you can see some of those in castles and museums around here, and they are horrific. Cast iron jobs or wrought iron jobs. Yeah. But this conversation has reminded me of a video that I've seen from an African Christian, because in Africa it's a bit different. It's not sort of every sexual activity is taboo, it's specific ones. So you're allowed to do the, what's it called, the vicar's position, you know.
Oh, no,
it's not called vicar, is it? What is it? It's a priest, the man on top.
Sure. Missionary.
Missionary, thank you. Yeah, missionary position, that's okay in Africa. You can do man on top, but all the other positions are not allowed.
And it has to be man on top.
Yes. Yeah.
which actually goes against the a woman has an advantage being on top for her orgasm. And that's another side.
Yeah,
as long as the man's happy.
Right. Yeah. It's a dominance thing. And it's the man that's having sex, it's the woman that's receiving it. That's the precept behind it.
Let's not get into revealing our favorite positions.
Okay. None. Larry, what's your thought on the flock idea?
No, I was just thinking, back when these rules were being made, and maybe even currently, the preacher could consider the flock, the predatory preacher, if there was one, consider their flock their private hunting ground, sexual hunting ground, and didn't want others in the group to have sex with their possible conquests. So that they really tamped down on the no sex area so that, you know, STDs and things like that wouldn't get polluted into the pool that they were exploiting.
And that makes me think of a news item which I reported this week about a quiverful church in the state of New York, where the leaders, the church leaders, have abused lots of women.
Right.
And their attitude is they hand over their sexuality to the Lord.
Whoa. Yeah. I wonder if we were to do a random poll of preachers, how many had met their own wife or significant other in a similar church group, right? Or even in their own congregation. And like, that is that could be a startling statistic, honestly. I'm going to put my Christian hat on, guys. And I'm going to say you guys have been ragging on Christianity and religion for a while, but you guys haven't offered any solutions. So isn't that typical of atheists? What would you do to make it any better? And how can you even demonstrate that that would be the case? I'll throw it out to Larry Rhodes. Larry, you've been ragging on Christianity. So what? What does atheism have? How can you make this better? How can you make appreciation of sex in any way better? At least we have a system. What do you think?
Well, I mean, with today's birth control pill and readily available abortion if you need it, and most countries around the world, let me put that addition to it, and modern medicine, there's really no reason why we shouldn't have sex as often and wherever we want to. Now, there are precautions. You have to be adult about it. You have to take the precautions. Unwelcome pregnancies, spread of STDs, that type of thing. But the act itself, there's no reason to forbid it. It's very pleasurable. I may have this attitude because when I grew up, I was born in the 50s when after penicillin was made and before AIDS hit, free sex was, 67 type of thing, 60s and 70s type of thing. And that may be the attitude that I have, but I still think there's really no reason to tamp down on it, especially for supernatural reasons. It gives pleasure. It brings people closer. It feels good, whatever. Anyway, my thoughts.
Okay. Eric. Atheism has nothing on the board. Christianity always has rules of law, society, multiple presidents, multiple world leaders. We're not on fire right now. We got a planet that's good. We got a lot of resources. That's Christianity's benefit. What has atheism brought to the table? And if you guys take away all these rules, the whole society falls apart. So why are you ragging on Christianity this whole time? And what do you have as an atheist for improving sexuality?
Well, I think like we've said, a lot of the reasons to make sex taboo has been taken care of. You know, we have birth control, better understanding of how diseases and spread and all of that. So we don't really need the taboo, and we don't really need the big guys watching you. Don't put your hand in your pants. So we say this: sex education, in schools. Kids are going to figure it. The internet is there. Kids are going to figure it out. They know how to use the computer better than you do. They're going to find out everything they need to know. So give them good education in schools. Don't make it icky. Make it just very, very open. Be like Netherlands. And then, mandatory vasectomies for every boy. There you go. Because it's reversible. It's reversible.
John Richards, how are you going to control the women? See, you see what Christianity says?
Come on.
High grip control on women. You're just going to give that up?
Who can control women? I mean, give me a break.
You can pretend
Christians are doing a pretty effective job on it. I wouldn't even say it's a good job, but I'd say it's a pretty effective. Go ahead, Larry. What are you doing?
I go to Richard Dawkins' reply when a Muslim asked him, how do you control your women? He said, they're not my women. They're autonomous.
I like what Eric said about the internet is there,
right? And
of course, surveys have been done about the usage of the internet, and guess which countries visit the most porn sites?
Okay, I'm gonna assume it's flipped. I'm gonna say the more conservative the country, the better. But North Korea doesn't have a internet, really. I think, but man, this is gonna be rough. I'm going to draw out America just because it seems like we got the most people. It's not America. Who is it? Who is it? Tell us.
Middle East?
It's particularly the Islamic countries.
Wow.
Because they don't get to see it in the walking around the streets.
Yeah, but they're the most, they could be potentially the most repressed. Larry, what do you think?
Exactly. They're deprived.
I just wanted to respond here. What does atheism bring? What does it offer? Well, it brings an existence without it. I have a meme here that I created and sent out. An existence without a celestial dictator, reading your mind 24/7, looking for sin. No more preachers running your life. No worries about an eternity in hell. You get to sleep in on Sundays. And you get a 10% pay raise, too, if you're tithing. Ooh,
nice. I can tell you, for me, so I grew up with the general impression of, like, there's only gay people and straight people, and there's nothing really else in between. And when I was before puberty, I was like, I was waiting for sexual awakening to kick on me. And when it didn't, like when I was 14, I was like, maybe I'm just a late bloomer. It's not a problem. And like, by the time I was 20, it was still like, I'm not feeling any like very strong, like sexual emotions either way. All my stuff works and pleasuring feels good, but like, there's no other person attraction. I'm wondering like, what's going on? Do I just hate women? Like, is this a thing that I got to think about? Cause I know I'm not gay either. Like what are the opportunities here? And so I got myself on this weird internet tunnel where it's like, are there any other people that are like me? And I found some people who are like pickup artists who are like, yeah, I don't like women either. I just like dating them. And I'm like, oh, I guess closer to what I'm at then. Cause like, I can definitely date women. And so I started on almost like this weird track where I was like dating almost all the people in our science building once. Like I could look at almost every girl and be like, I've been on a date with her. Nothing yet. Let me try another person. And I felt bad about it. And I was just like, what in the world's going on? And so finally, like after a long search, I found out like, is it okay to just not feel any sexual attraction? And it's like, yeah, of course, that's a whole thing. I'm like, why didn't I find that? And this is like in my 30s. Like, why didn't I find that when I was in my teens? Why didn't someone educate me or let me know that?
Because at that point, talk about that stuff.
Exactly. I only knew straight, gay, or bi. And I thought, well, either like men, you like women, or you like both men and women. But I'm like, what if you don't like any of those? Is that an option? Is there a fourth box in this?
None of the above.
It's like, yeah, you can be none. I was like, that's the group. And not only is that a group, but like, it's a full thing. It's like a full, it's not just a community, but it's just like its own standardized thing. No one explained it to me. And I felt like, as Eric was saying, if we just had this taught in schools where it's just like, kids, you can be any of these things, and it's a whole spectrum, and it's okay, and you don't have to worry about the repression or anything. It would have saved me a lot of headache, would have saved me a lot of guilt, a lot of repression, and just give me a better understanding, or at least a good starter pack to figure out what my identity is just moving forward.
Well, I'm glad you found out.
Thanks. And I just appreciate having that without the religion. And I feel like if the religion got out of the way, it would help a lot of other kids too. We have a world where there's gay kids who commit suicide, transgenders who do the same thing as too. In fact, they're most at risk. And I feel like if religion were to, or this dogma, or the pressure we put on sexual identification or freedom is just taken away, we could really reduce, you know, unwanted teen pregnancy, because we can find safe ways to do it. We can improve birth control access for both men and women, other than mandatory vasectomy. Sorry, Boudreaux. There might be a pill out there that for men that can just stop sperm from flying around. We could have that researched like 20 years ago. And just like the idea of like, here's what your identities are, a tolerance for it, acceptance of it, kids coming out to their parents and not being a big deal. All of this stuff could have been so much better. But we had to be in this reality. And so we are left here to clean up the mess that religion had wrought. And we need to start. John Richards.
One of the things that religion likes to do is keep people as ignorant as possible so that they can control their thoughts even. And I remember,
bubble.
Yeah, that's right. I remember I bumped into a woman, I think it was on Twitter, who said that one of her male workmates had actually asked her how she urinates when she's got a tampon in. I mean, that's just an indictment of the failure of
the educational system.
Of how reproduction systems work.
Right. I never thought I'd ever tell this story out loud, but there was once a girl in my high school who was so angry at another guy that she drew him naked and like in this terrible tortured position, but everyone made fun of it because she put the balls on the top. instead of a low. We were just like, oh my gosh, that's so sweet. Anyway,
that's so funny.
Anyway,
yeah, it's right. Sad too.
It's sad. I blame the teachers.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, I blame the edict against talking about sex. Yeah. If it weren't for that edict, we'd have sex education. It'd be normal.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, exactly. I was a teacher, so I can blame teachers. I'm allowed to.
So we'll do roundtable shout outs. Bujo, thanks so much for joining the show. Always a pleasure. John Rich, it's always good to have you. Larry, can't do the show without you, my friend. My shout out for the show is a movie called Ready Player One. It is a terrible movie. It is also a terrible book, but the first couple of chapters just straight up are very straight up like, listen, I'm aware that I've been lied to my entire life. This is actually how the universe was created. It was an evolutionary process. And then millions of years later, like, it's just a very flat, secular telling of how the world came to be up to the point where the VR happens, literally from like the Big Bang all the way to VR. And I'm like, every kid who watches this movie might pick up the book, and if they pick up the book, they're at least going to be injected with that telling and then read the rest of the story afterwards. And I found that to be a really good way to, while it shouldn't be the responsibility of pulp culture to do that, but it's a good way to introduce kids in that mindset before religion has all the chains on them and pulls them into a completely different direction. It's good just to have like the very
close dry the door on the information flow.
Exactly. Like, here's another idea. It's a pebble in your shoe, and people are going to lie to you and tell you otherwise, but this is the most scientific way of it. And then it led to VR. And now we have these Easter egg hunts that we're finding. It's like, okay, good. John Richards, what do you think? Or what would you like to plug?
I'd like to plug Freethought Channel, easily found on YouTube. And recently I've taken great delight in debunking Frank Turek. So you can see some of my attempts at that. They're very short on Freethought Channel. And of course, later today, we will have Global Atheist News Review, including Ty. And yeah. I've just had a message. Dread thinks he can make it today, too. This is great. Yeah. See you later.
Bujo, you also might like that show, too. If you see the link, you're more than welcome to ever come back in. But it's not a bad group of guys.
I think I joined you one time, John. It was fun.
Yeah, you maybe did. It's all a blur to me now.
Bujo, what degree of orange should we check out next week?
Yeah, get you some do a workout at Orange Theory, and then get you some orange leaf ice cream while listening to some Orange Whip.
Orange Whip, nice. Yeah. I'll do all three tandems at once.
There you go. I did get a message from one of our former members. I won't say who. But it was interesting. Someone who used to be an atheist is now seeing the light of God, I guess, and was
good for them.
Yeah, I mean, and I had a nice exchange with them, and you know, they gave me a question to ponder, and I shot back with another question, and we kept it civil. And it was cool.
Nice. Larry Rhodes, anything that you'd recommend we check out? Because I'm looking out for books about atheism and what they're all about. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, I happen to have a book on atheism.
You don't have to go straight into that. Sound like you're going to talk about something else. Go ahead.
What's it all about? Anyway, my content can be found at digitalfreethought.com. Be sure to click on the blog button for our radio show archives, atheist songs, and articles on the subject. You can find me on YouTube by searching for Doubter 5. If you have questions for the show, you can send them to askanatheist@knoxvilleatheist.org or letschatse@gmail.com. If you're having trouble leaving religious beliefs behind, you can get help in recovering from your religious experience at recoveringfromreligion.org. Excuse me. You can find this show on podcasts everywhere. Just search for Digital Free Thought Radio Hour. Remember, everybody is going to somebody else's hell. The time to worry about it is when they prove that heavens and hells and souls are real. Until then, don't sweat it. Enjoy your life, and we'll see you next week. Say bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. Everybody.
Bye.